Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome into hour number two. Got another hour full of fishing talk, and we'll be talking about hunting not too far off. You know, it's breaking daylight in most of our listening areas across the great Gulf Coast right now. It won't be long before I'll be giving you those official shooting times. We start off with dove season, September, first week in September, and that goes into teal, and then, you know, the small game, rabbit, squirrel. And then we get into the quail and the woodcock and the ducks and the geese and the deer. And boy, before you know it, goose season's here, and we're kind of moving into turkey season. It comes and goes so, so fast for those of us who love to hunt. And we'll be keeping you up to date on it as we get into it. Did want to mention to you, Calcasieu Lake area is getting a new reef as we speak. The Brad Vincent Reef has been expanded upon thanks to the help of the Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association and one of the sponsors, Phillips 66. There's a six-acre reef right there now that is known as the Brad Vincent Reef, and that is going to be expanded to another, about probably 3 to 4 acres that's right adjacent to the original reef, and that is good news. A lot of these reefs have become very, very successful. That makes a total of really four of them now in that area. There's one at Turner's Bay, the Big Jack Reef, and that's in the southern part of Calcasieu, and then the Brad Vincent really has two sections of the reef there. So next time we talk to Kirk Stansel with Hackberry Rod and Gun, we'll get his read on how those reefs are produced. And I found that some of those reefs are very, very successful, and others, maybe because of where they were put it in relation to the tides and the depth of the water, they just really never produce what they had hoped to. So anyway, we learn more and more each time a reef is put down, and it's great to have those artificial reefs. Structure always attracts fish. All right, I did want to remind you about a couple of other things. We're going to be doing a Boudin Taste Off next week. And thanks to you listeners, last week I asked you to tell me your favorite Boudin places, and we took the top six. And on my way to Texas next week, I'm going to stop at each one, pick up some samples. We're going to cook them in Texas. I got a team associated to become our taste test team, and next week we'll announce the best Boudin or the baddest Boudin. And new news is one, Hébert and Maurice, Best Stop, Don's Billy, and Karchner's. Those are the contestants. So we'll be giving you the results of the best Boudin. I know a lot of you love that Louisiana Boudin. Speaking of all these bees, best Boudin, how about Beyond Bullets and Baits? That's my new book that's out. It's a Kindle book at this point. You can purchase it on Amazon for the outrageous price of $2.99. I think I priced it too cheap. Maybe that's why people think at $2.99 it can't be much. Well, I hope you think it's a lot more than that. It's a collection of stories that I have written about characters I have met along the way over the last 30 years. Some very interesting stories, some inspirational stories, motivation. Some of them are funny, some are humorous, and some are just doggone interesting to read. I invite you to go to Amazon.com and just put in Beyond Bullets and Baits. The title of that book is because there really is a lot behind the bullets and the baits and the techniques and the how-to and the where-to when it comes to hunting and fishing. There's a lot of spin-off stories and some really interesting ones, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Now, we're coming out with an audio version as soon as I can find time to produce it. It only took me about 6 years to get this Kindle book up and running. But if you have a Kindle device, they tell me you can get a Kindle app. That's how you read it. Go to Amazon.com, put in Beyond Bullets and Baits, and maybe my name as the author, Don Dubuque, and let me know. You can text me back and let me know what you think about the book. It's not a long book. It's a pretty easy read. All right. Also coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be checking in with a special reporter at 6:50 who will go unnamed at this point, but I'm really looking forward to that. We also got a couple of our regulars. Mike Gallo is going to check in with us. Brendan Brandon Bayard. You know, we got the big ride, the Bull looming large, and then the Lafayette Kayak Club is putting on that Slamboree on Highway 1. We'll talk to Brendan about that. And then, of course, we got the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, updating us on the Plaquemines Parish area. So we still got a lot to cover here in the next hour. Oh, and don't forget, Bad Boys of the Outdoors, favorite all-time feature, I believe. We'll be back with all of that right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our fishing report with Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, which is brought to you by SeaTow. They offer fuel drops whenever, wherever you need it. Tow you in 24/7. Jumpstart you if you got an electrical problem, and always can give you that peace of mind. If you're knowing that rescue is just one phone call away, you get all that for $179 for a year. Become a member. Call Captain Chris at 504-301-4545, or you can sign up online at seato.com. For those of you who have seen the latest edition of Bayou Wild, you may have noticed or seen that our subject of our Captain's Wife feature, which is an ongoing series, is none other than Jacqueline Gallo, the wife of Captain Mike. Mike, have you got a chance to see the feature yet?
I sure did. My wife showed it to me, and I had several friends show it to me and comment as well.
Well, I got to tell you, Mike, you're a lucky man. You got a wonderful wife, and wives like Jacqueline don't come along that often every day, and you're very, very fortunate.
I do have a wonderful wife. I am very fortunate. She's my best catch.
And she figures she made a good catch herself. Y'all are a great couple, and I want to invite people to check that feature out. It's called The Captain's Wife. We go behind the scenes and kind of find out how the wives are involved, or in case of Jacqueline, not so much involved in their business, but still there for the moral support. I think it was a great feature, and you got a real good keeper there. Well, Mike, you fishing this morning, or you gonna west wind kind of got you sidelined, or what's going on?
Yeah, the west wind has me sidelined this morning. I'm already starting to think, am I going to fish tomorrow or not? I can tell you that we have been dealing with the west wind all week, and I have sort of expanded my horizons. I'm no longer fishing within a half mile of Unknown Pass. It may be within 3 to 5 miles of Unknown Pass. But on that western shoreline of Lake Bourne, anywhere from Polecat Bend all the way down towards Bayou B Avenue, you know, I just kind of run the shoreline rather slow and look for mullet. And when I see some mullet, I slow down, you know, all the way down to idle and see if I see a fair concentration of them. And if I do, put the trolling motor in the water, break out the popping corks in the live shrimp or dead shrimp. Sometimes we're throwing spoons or spinners, and they do seem to be in little schools. Whenever you catch one, make sure the other guy in the boat is throwing close to where you caught him, because a lot of times you'll get doubles. So that's been our pattern for the majority of this week. I still don't have any news on speckled trout. However, Wednesday, after getting rained on for about 45 minutes, we ran in. I was down towards the Bayou B Avenue area, and we had pretty much called it a day, my clients and I. And we ran back up the intercoastal waterway, and I was cutting through Lake Catherine, and I decided, let me fish this deep, unknown pass by the bridge. And we ended up catching 31 nice white trout. Kind of saved the trip for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
My clients were happy with them. They were there. They were biting every cast. Basically, we're in 30 feet of water dropping straight down. Found them with the depth finder, you know, looking at the sonar, and was able to pick out some fish on the screen. And fortunately, they were fish that we could keep and fish that were feeding. Hmm. So kind of saved us. So that's the only trout I could tell you about was in the deep water of Unknown Pass.
Of course, this doesn't really apply to you because you don't run night trips, but a lot of people are catching, and usually it's smaller fish, underneath the lights this time of year, which is good for a couple of reasons. One, you're out of the heat of the day, and the fish tend to congregate under the lights because it attracts the bait there. But, you know, people need to be conscientious and responsible when they're fishing around piers that are lit. You know, I'm sure most people don't mind if someone does, but you can't get out on their pier and, you know, that would be trespassing and tie up on their pier. But certainly, you know, if you see lights and you see some breaking action there, maybe to kind of stay off an anchor or trail a motor to it, you know, you can pick up a few fish like that if you're willing to get out and fish late.
That's true. That reminds me of many years ago, I was going to go fish out towards Brush Island. I had never fished Brush Island before, so me and a couple of buddies of mine left extremely early, maybe an hour, hour and a half before sunup. And as we go by Treasure Isle right in Lake Pontchartrain, we see a light, and we see some breaking, water breaking underneath it. We fished right there and caught a dozen speckled trout. And I said, we got to go. We're running out of time. We got to get out to this Brush Island. It's a long ways away, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we make that run all the way out to Brush Island, fish all over the place, everywhere we can try. Came home with 13 speckled trout. I caught them less than a half a mile from the lodge. I passed up fish looking for fish on that particular day. And that's, you know, kind of what you're saying. Don't pass up those lights if you see some breaking water there or some bait activity.
Yeah, that's a great way to fish in a lot of cases. It's just you got to put the time in at night. Well, Mike, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and talk about getting in some late summer trips or early fall trip, I know you book well in advance. Tell them all the ways they can find you information.
Well, obviously, you can find me on Don the Outdoors Guy. My website is aaofla.com. We're on Facebook under Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way and use the telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way, the telephone. Huh?
That's the old-fashioned way.
How times have changed. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Have a great weekend, and tell the captain's wife hello for me. She did a great job on the show.
Thank you very much, Don. Talk to you next week.
See you next week. Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. All right, we come back after this. We're going to check on some text messages we're getting in. If you want to send us one, it's 870-870. Also got a paddler's report. Brendan Bayard's the guy we do that with. He's with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. We'll be back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Yeah, my stroking trip was going to do a sunset paddle last week. Got blown out by the weather. We got it rescheduled for August. You're going to see that on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild. Also going to tell you about the Grande Vole. If you haven't heard about that, that's another one you're going to see. But before we get to all of that, I want to tell you the paddler's report's coming up with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Brendan Bayard is one of our reporters. It's presented by Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in Mid-City of New Orleans, Covington, Baton Rouge, offering the best kayak fishing models like Hobie's, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. You can check out their website for all their models at MasseyOutfitters.com, and you'll also find them on Facebook. Brendan Bayard is fishing the Lafayette Club Slamboree today. We've been talking about that on Highway 1 in Leeville. He's got his son Graves along with him, and I can hear a little wind in the background already early. Brendan, how's the conditions down there this morning?
Hey, Don, good morning. I think we're going to be heat stroking today. It's out here behind the island on Grand Isle. It's a little windy. The beach should be a little calmer than where we're at. I just have been on a little bit of fish back here, so I wanted to try this first. Tide is still coming up slightly. It's still not quite high, what I would consider normal high. Water clarity is pretty good, and a lot of bait back here, so we'll catch some fish.
Tell me how this Slamboree works. What's the structure of the tournament?
It is a slam tournament, so that means they weigh three species in aggregate, a flounder, a slot redfish, and a speckled trout. And there's also prizes for the biggest of each of those categories, as well as the spotted redfish, where you have an abnormal amount of spots on your redfish.
Got it. So the plan is going to be, which one do you try to concentrate on first?
I always try to, you know, catch a trout early, especially when it's real hot, and then really try to catch all my fish early because, you know, it's hard to catch them, you know, unless you're fishing some deeper water when the sun starts cooking everything, especially if you're fishing shallow. I tend to fish shallow at the first light. Try to get in there and do the damage before it gets the fish get lethargic in those areas, and then I'll go into some deeper canals and fish the rest of the day and grind it till the end of the tournament. You know, flounder is always key. I think at these tournaments, you can really catch a trout, fish for flounder, and then catch redfish as a byproduct of fishing for flounder.
Sound like a good plan. You know, the problem with kayak tournaments in this kind of a heat, it's doubly bad for because you're exerting energy. You're paddling and casting, whereas at least in a bay boat, you can crank up every now and then and cool off and take a little 20-mile-an-hour ride. You ain't going to do that in a kayak. You got to sweat it out and grind it out.
Yeah, we ain't loaded up with Gatorades and waters, so we're going to stay hydrated and, not paddling, as far as I might normally paddle when the conditions are a little bit better and the temperature's a little bit cooler. You know, I'm going to stay relatively close within a mile or so from the launch and just see how it goes.
I think that'll be most of the contestants' plan. Brendan, if you could, give us some spots anywhere along the coast that you find might be better for dealing with a west wind, because it looks like we got a steady diet of that for the next several days.
West wind, I mean, if you go to West Cove, you can launch out of the West Cove launch and then just kind of hug that bank over there. That's kind of a safe bet if you're fishing in the Big Lake area. Joe's Cove is also pretty good. Getting closer out this way, tucking into some marsh along a big bayou is probably kind of a safer bet. Right now, it's Google Earth is your best friend. Kind of look for a big road or something that blocks that wind, tuck in on the other side. If you're tucking into any of those areas along a road or something where it's real shallow, just make sure there's some deeper water pushing a little bit of cooler water into the areas that you're fishing. So you might look for a bigger tributary, kind of dumping some stuff in, not just concentrating on the duck ponds. If you went out to Hopedale, you could probably get into some of the bigger bays that have a big western bank and fish some of those kind of things. The Mr. Go is usually pretty good whenever it gets hot because the water's deep in there. Some of those places adjacent to that. If you're going down, Port Sulphur and all that, that levee is not really situated to block a westerly wind if you're coming out of Joshua's or something. So it's best to avoid an area like that.
Good advice. Well, we got the IFA Kayak Tour August 5th, and in the coming weeks we'll be talking about the big one, the Ride the Bull. Next time we get you on, Brendan, I'd like for you to maybe kind of give us a little overview on fishing artificial reefs. You know, the CCA and some of the sponsors have been putting those things all along the coast, and they're more of a thing to come. And I'd like for you to maybe give us a listing of some of the more productive ones for paddlers to fish on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We certainly utilize those, and I'll talk about a few of those next time. I really like those ones that they put over in Big Lake. We fish those regularly.
Very good. Good luck to you and Graves, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you next time.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. There he goes, paddling off into the sunrise. Brendan Bayard, one of our reporters. A guy, you know, he's fishing a slamboree, he's running a kayak, and he's giving a fishing report. That is the perfect example of a multitasking fisherman. All right. Got some interesting texts coming in. You want to shoot us one, it's 870-870. Back with those. And also, it's bad boy time. We got some fellas that thought it was a good idea to shoot pelicans. Wrong. We're back with their story after this. All right, throughout our show, we maintain a text message board directly to the studio at 870-870. Always get some interesting texts in. This is from our friend Justin, the one in Gentilly. He said that other Justin is an imposter. He's enjoying the show. He's got big news to share in the weeks to come. Oh, now you got me curious, Justin. Can't wait to hear it. Here's another one that says, heading out to do a little red fishing at Pecan Island. Seems like most people have realized trout are in scarce supply today, and the best way to go is to target those redfish. Here's one. Now, this is a thinking man. Good morning. If I had to fish only one technique only, and that's our question on our opinion poll, it would have to be spear fishing. Then you could catch fish from inland lakes to offshore rigs. Possibilities are endless. Stay cool today, folks. That's from Ben M. Well, Ben M., there are a few species that you cannot spearfish, but for the most part, yeah, you would kind of open it up for a lot of different species and types of habitats. So it shows you're a thinking kind of guy. Here's someone else that is heading to Intercoastal City. Redfish action again. And this one just tuned in. Don, did you talk about the duck boat incident? Don't know much about that kind of boat. That is the story that's made national news. A duck boat was overturned in a torrential storm. 60-mile-an-hour winds in a duck boat. Now, when you hear duck boat, I think a lot of people are thinking pirogue, kayak, shallow draft, flat boat with a small engine made to get into ponds. That is not what a duck boat is. Well, some people, you can call that a duck boat. What they're talking about here is actually an amphibious watercraft. I think these, I think I first saw them in the late 50s or very early 60s. It's a military craft that can travel on both land and water. That's why it's called a duck boat. It's kind of like a duck walks off the bank into the water and starts swimming. They're not really seaworthy boats. It was used as a tour boat. It shouldn't have been out there. I don't know the full details of how much warning they had before that torrential storm showed up, but it did overturn and capsize the boat. Several people drowned. There were some survivors, and I'm sure the stories will be continuing to come out. All right, right after this quick pause, we'll be back with our bad boy feature, the case of the Pelican Hunters, coming at you next after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, documenting that poaching is not strictly a southern states thing, Dateline Newton, Illinois, and thanks to some information that was provided by the public, similar to our Operation Game Thief, charges have been filed against two Newton, Illinois teenagers in connection with the illegal shooting of six white pelicans at the Newton Lake State Fish and Wildlife Area. Charges were filed with the state attorney following an investigation that was conducted by the Department of Natural Resources, Conservation Police, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, because juveniles are involved in this case, the names of the subject are not being released. But there are two male subjects charged with unlawful take of migratory waterfowl with a rifle, unlawful discharge of a firearm from a public roadway, unlawful firing of a rifle over into the waters of the state, and unlawfully disturbing, harassing wild birds by the use or aid of a motor vehicle. It's a safe bet that because they're juveniles, they'll be receiving a light sentence for killing five pelicans and seriously injuring another one. They are two unnamed Newton, Illinois juveniles, our bad boys of the outdoors. Well, unfortunately, by law, we are not allowed to identify juveniles who are charged with crimes, and hopefully they have learned their lesson and won't be getting into any of that anymore. Tell you what, though, that brings up this subject of the whooping crane. You know, if you've been a regular listener to this show, you know, over the years, now that we've been trying to restore a viable population of whooping cranes back into Louisiana virtually after extinction, there's been an awful lot of whooping crane shootings. There's been too many. In fact, there's been 28 in the nation. Actually, the number of cases were 28. The number of whooping cranes that were killed by gunfire is 38. That is an awful lot when you consider there's just a handful of them in the country. And guess who leads the league? Yep, you guessed it. Louisiana, actually Texas, we are tied at 8 for number 1 in the number of whooping crane deaths. And they're going to be taking some steps to create an awareness. They actually did some studies, really interesting results. And they identified all the perpetrators that have killed whooping cranes were white men, average age 27.6 years. Most had prior convictions for, like, driving under the influence. Many of them had concurrent crimes like vandalism, shooting other non-game, out of season. And in many cases, alcohol was listed as a contributing factor. Anyway, they're beginning to try to come up with some strategies for alerting the public and making more known about the whooping crane. To me, it really is a very special bird because this represents so much, you know, that man actually pushed it out of into extinction, but we've brought it back. It's a wonderful story about how we've restored that, and I can remember seeing one of the last ones when I was a kid in a zoo, and then they went away after that for decades, and then finally they're back, and there's a small section in southwest Louisiana where they're being raised, and they're actually nesting and breeding and starting to thrive. And when you hear about these shootings for no reason, people don't confuse these. Maybe a couple would confuse it, but there's no other bird anywhere near like this that you can confuse it for. Anyway, we're going to talk to Lizzie Condon. I'm going to get her to come on and talk to her about some of the steps they're going to take to try to protect the whooping crane even further. I think stiffer sentences probably would be it, but they're pretty tough on a whooping crane. It's similar to what happens if you shoot a black bear because they are endangered. All right, anyway, we'll be back right after this and talk to the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert. He'll be with us to give us an update on the Plaquemines Parish area after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, joins us now. Ryan, I got a couple of personal questions for you. Up for it?
Okay. All right.
You cut your teeth freshwater fishing. Did you ever catch a chain pickerel?
Yes, I did.
How about a redfin pickerel?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with them to know, but I know I've caught chain pickerels in lakes before. I've caught quite a few of them.
Yeah, they kind of look like a mini garfish, huh?
Yeah, they are, and people curse them when they catch them. Like it's,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what the deal. It's a fish.
Well,
catch them, have fun.
Well, we're going to reinstate them into the Louisiana state records. We've been getting some people wanting to have a category to place their chain pickerel catches in. We used to have it, and I don't know why it was done away with, but it disappeared, but it's going to be back. So anybody that's catching big chain pickerel, you might want to research the LOWA, Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association records, and find out if you can place in the top 10. The other question I have for you, being from where you're from, Grana Vole, you know what that is?
Yeah, that's a lotus plant. That's the flower in the bud. It's granule.
We went hunting those with your buddy Captain Clyde Foltz this week. Got caught in a torrential rainstorm, but had a lot of fun getting them. They're pretty good eating, too.
Yeah, they're good to eat. You know, you got to be careful how many you eat, though. They'll upset your stomach if you eat too many.
Well, he was showing us. I mean, it's kind of a science. You got to be able to read them and recognize which ones are ripe and good for the eating. Otherwise, they're either too old or they're not ripe enough yet. So you got to get the right ones.
Well, any good tuna ass knows how to do that.
Well, you know, you got a lot of different people who are not considered good coon asses, too, that are going to go out there.
And you know, the whole thing is a beautiful thing. The lily pad is beautiful. The stem coming up, the big, big, beautiful flower it makes, then it turns into the pod. I mean, the whole process with a lotus plant is a beautiful thing in the freshwater marsh.
You know, he was telling me that the guys that are going out harvesting those things are getting about $29 a sack now for those things.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I maybe saw you, Facebook had that said my next crop is coming, you know, and he had dollars by it. So I guess they are. You know, why not? I mean, you could sell thistle, blackberry. If you hungry in Louisiana, it's because you too get to get off the sofa.
That's right.
There's too much to do here.
The woods, the swamps, and the marshes is full of food. You just got to know what to do and how to cook it. That's all there is to it.
Indeed.
So how you dealing with West Wind this week?
Oh, I hate the West Wind, but you just deal with it. Me and Cody both had a trip at 3:30 yesterday evening, you know, and two different groups. It just so happened they both wanted to come in at 3:30, and we both went out there and just smashed them that late in the evening. I mean, I knew it was going to be low tide, so I went where I knew they still had some vegetation because a lot of it got killed with the West Wind pushing those tidal surges on the west side. And I pulled up to one draw, put the pole down because I saw a fish on top, and he caught a limit in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then Cody did the same thing on the east side, and he had a bunch of sheephead bonuses too. But, you know, in the morning, they did the same thing in the morning. So the redfish bit really well yesterday. And you know, they throwing corks and shrimp and all. I caught all mine on plastic, but as you already know. But it was a great day for that, though, that you can't – it was blowing so hard you can't get outside to go catch the trout without banging people up, so we don't do that. But they did catch a few on the inside real close, too. So, the river's coming down. They caught them pretty close. So, hopefully everything start moving back. But the trout are very, very – I mean, they're located in just a few spots. They're not everywhere this year.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say TGIR, thank God for redfish, because, man –
Without that,
the pickings would really be slim.
And you know what? Flounders are non-existent. I have seen one flounder on that table this whole year. One.
Mm.
That's unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, there's been a handful caught. People send me pictures of it almost like it's an endangered species now. But
that's just terrible.
Yeah, there's a problem with flounder. I don't know what's going to be done. They're going to have to look into it and see what we can do to get them back.
So they think the water temperature changed and turned them all to males. Well, how come it didn't change in Lake Charles? They're catching plenty of flounders there.
And they started to pick up over that way. Yeah. Well, it could be related to the BP oil spill. You know, that's another theory.
Because of where they're on those rigs, and they go down on them rigs, and a lot of divers just watch them falling down toward the rigs. And if that's where they're spawning, that could have been detrimental to them. But here's what it is. I had to come home late last night. I got to go on the grocery run. I got 10 boats running, and we'll hit the grocery run and go right back to it.
Sound like a busy man.
Oh, we always doing something. You know that.
Yes, but, indeed.
I'm gonna go try to get on some bull reds with topwater baits the next couple of days. That ought to be fun.
That sounds like fun. Hey, now, keep your eyes peeled. You know, we're not that far away from teal season. We ought to start getting some sightings not too far.
I saw eight day before yesterday or yesterday. Let's see. Day before yesterday, I saw eight in a little flock. Now, were they resident birds or were they birds that came? It's awful early, way early.
Yeah, it is.
They had hundreds of model ducks, and they had 18 with them. Mm-hmm. The marsh looks just great again. If we can just keep away from those tidal surges, it ought to be great. Teal season would be great no matter what, but I'd like to see, the big duck season. And I said that last year, and I couldn't believe how many ducks were killed with no vegetation.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was a ninth inning storm surge that came in, too, just at the wrong time. You know?
Well, you're not kidding. At the end of October, it was.
Right.
You know, you think everything's so great, and then boom. But tons of model ducks, and the marsh looks great. Well, it'd be fine. In fact, I'm going to start working on all that stuff probably next week, start getting the boats in shape and the blinds in shape and all that stuff, get a head start on it.
Sounds good. All right, my friend, go get them, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds great. We'll see you then, bud.
All righty. Have a grand volet on the way. All right, we come back after this. We're going to get a report from one of our Roush reporters. We got Morris coming up next. He's got some fishing information. Stay tuned. Also, got a good comment about those duck boats. I didn't know they used them in Mobile, Alabama for tours of the city and the Bay River. That's great because, you have to transfer your customers from a vehicle to a boat all in one shot. But, and not the most seaworthy craft around. All right, we'll be back with more after this timeout. All right, finishing up real quick on some text messages. I got this one in. Been fishing Delacroix a long time. Fishing getting worse every year. Was bad this winter. This summer's been terrible. Anybody got the answer? My theory is high Mississippi River. We had an opening of the spillway. A lot of river water coming around that side, getting into some of those outer reaches of Delacroix. I think that has certainly had an impact on it. Got this in. Someone says, Rachel and I are on them Sockalay in Bayou Pigeon. The Atchafalaya levels are all good in all the right places. Thanks for that report. All right, if you think that Rouse's supermarkets just offer great groceries and service, they offer a lot more. Fishing reports. We've got Morris Sudelay joining us now. Hey, Morris, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, Don. How you doing today?
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from home, Louisiana, Don.
Oh, God's country. What can you tell God's us about country. The fishing down around home? Is it kind of, well, we picked a tough week to get you to give a fishing report. This west wind is killing us, man.
Yeah, it definitely is, Don. I haven't been fishing down too much in the home area. I have a camp up in Brookhaven. We've been hitting the ponds up there, catching bass, and every now and then we'll catch a perch, but it's been so doggone hot. It's been tough.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That is a good alternative to do a little early and late freshwater fishing, because, boy, you're right, man, the heat just gets you. It's tough to get out there. And then with this west wind dirtying up the water and coming from the wrong direction, saltwater fishing is really tough. You got to concentrate on reds and drum and maybe the sheephead. You know, the trout have been almost endangered species the last several weeks.
Yeah, the pond fishing has been really good early in the morning and really late in the afternoon. That's all the bite that we've been having. If you can stand that heat with the heat index that we have out there, it's been pretty doggone tough. We've been catching some nice fish, like I said, early in the morning on baby brush hog, the June bug, and a few other like the little cigar minnows, tequila sunrise worms. But it's been pretty doggone tough up there as well, trying to beat the heat and catch you a few fish and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, even going late. I mean, it's staying into the 90s, almost up till dark. So, I mean, you really got to stay out there a long time to, get out there as late as you can right before daylight. In fact, there were a couple places that I fished right at dark is when they'd really turn on, especially for the brim and the sockeye.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is up there as well, especially right now. April's probably the best time to be up there, catching some nice fish while they're spawning. But right now you just got to start getting ready for cutting the food plots, getting ready for hunting season pretty soon. But fishing's been tough, man, with the heat.
You know, isn't that funny, Morris, how hunters, you know, it starts on getting on our mind in this time of the year, late July and August, when it should be the furthest thing from your mind. But everybody starts turning their thoughts to hunting when we get to this stage of the year.
I tell you what, you drive up I-55, you'll see everybody from down south start hauling their tractors back and forth to Mississippi, start getting their food pots together. And you see quite a few of us going up there.
Yeah, it looks like they're all heading. Yeah, it looks like they're heading to a used ATV sale or something. It's amazing. It's like an exodus going up that way. That's a lot of fun, though, staying at those camps in the wintertime. No better camaraderie and place to enjoy with your family, you know?
It sure does. It's very enjoyable. Give you some family time to spend up there and enjoy yourself.
That's right. Hey, you got a special for us at Rouse's today?
We got quite a few things, Don, especially if the fish are not catching right now. We have, I know you've been to Alaska. I hear you talking about going to Alaska. We have whole Alaskan sockeye salmon at $7.99 a pound right now. So if you're not catching any fish out there, you can come
$7.99?
$7.99 a pound, right?
It's three times that in Alaska. That's a great price. Great price.
Well, I tell you, you can go ahead and save yourself some money and come on down to Rouse's and we'll get it for you. Whole Alaskan sockeye salmon at $7.99 a pound. We have a couple of other good items that are exclusively to Rouse's. We have Lorianne peaches from South Carolina. That's $1.99 a pound. They are some awesome peaches, super juicy. Make sure you have your napkin on your side because you definitely have the juice leaking down your face.
Sounds good.
We
got to go, Morris.
All right. Thank
thanks
you,
for
Don.
Thanks for the
calling.
Info. We appreciate
all
you.
Right,
thank you
day.
So much. All right, coming up next, it's more outdoors. Don, theoutdoorsguide.com. 2 hours more of the outdoor talk you'd love to hear about. We'll see you next week on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.